My name is Jeff Hall. I'm a retired Navy Chief, Hospital Corpsman. And I'm here today to share my story, hoping that any one of you listening, hopefully all of you listening, can get something from it that will benefit you in some way. So as an enlisted person, what I come to learn throughout my journey is that many of us in the military, particularly those from the enlisted ranks, we come from broken families, challenged backgrounds, and, you know, just a number of, you know, socially, you know, challenging, environments. And I find that, you know, just not because of, maybe because and despite that, we rise to become who, what, where, and how we are. Myself personally, I currently am a business owner, and I never imagined I would be where I am today. Not that I've, you know, reached any kind of, you know, incredible status, but certainly far more than I imagined. So I grew up under projects in Chicago. My siblings and I pretty much had a large hand in raising ourselves and each other for a variety of reasons. And I'm sure that's not unique to a number of people, you know, who served on active duty, particularly, again, in the enlisted ranks. So I pretty much raised my little sister, had a number of challenges, you know, as a child, and moved a number of times, and was a high school dropout. I went back and got my GED. I call it my good enough diploma. Had my first ready-made family. Well, before that, I took my first job, my first real job at 17 in telemarketing, which I had no idea it's how much it would serve me down the road and how well it's serving me right now, to be honest. But it was at that point at 17, I started planning my move, you know, out of my home to move forward, move beyond and escape the environment that I was in. At 18, I moved. I had enough money saved to get my own place, move out. 19, I had my first ready-made family. You know, I met my first wife in telemarketing. Her daughter was a year old. I adopted her a year later and joined the Navy. A year and a half later, at age 20, I adopted my daughter, joined the Navy to make a family, to make a life, and for long-term, you know, just long-term goals. The day I signed up, I knew I was going to stay for 20 years. That was my plan going in. Because my ASVAB score, according to my recruiter, qualified me for one of two positions, either cook or Navy Hospital Corpsman. I took Corpsman. And that journey, that decision there, really shaped my life among many. I also knew when I signed up that I was staying for 20 years. I knew that I would have to work for somebody for 20 years. Who else is going to give me a paycheck the rest of my life just for 20 years of work? I'd already experienced, you know, a fair amount of adversity, challenges, fights, and things like that. I could take the butt whooping. So I'm here for the long haul was my rationale. That was the best decision of my life, becoming a corpsman. Wow. And then ultimately, you know, achieving the rank of chief just, you know, before I retired. That was a journey because, you know, both sailors and Marines, and I spent most of my career, you know, with Marines, serving with the Marines as their hospital corpsman. And you meet other people who come from backgrounds, like you meet people from every walk of life, and that just opens you up, first of all, opens your world. The number of experiences and the jobs that I had, being able to exchange jobs and have a whole new experience every, you know, 6 months to 3 years, that was right up while still keeping the same job and having that longevity, it worked for me. It absolutely worked for me. I pretty much spanned the gamut of healthcare from hospital ward care to clinics, to shipboard, to combat medicine, to telemedicine, and then, you know, HR, which is, you know, career counseling, recruiting, and, you know, and the gamut. You kind of get it. I started working on my bachelor's while on active duty. And then when I ultimately retired, after my last duty station in New England, recruiting healthcare professionals for the Navy, doctors, dentists, nurses, and the whole range of healthcare professionals, I furthered my education and ultimately worked on my bachelor's in Northeastern healthcare management. I retired from there in 2009. And my first job out of the Navy was, I met my boss actually in an Irish pub around the corner from where I lived at the time when I was on terminal leave. And my full-time job at that time was looking for my next job, my next career, and what I was going to do. And I ultimately ended up in telemedicine sales and program management and setting up programs. And my market was the federal market. Exposed me, wow. So while after duty, I learned procurement and you know how things were done, but this was an entirely different beast, you know, actually selling, you know, to the federal government and solving problems and, you know, and taking a consultative approach to selling and solving those problems. While working that job and quite honestly on a plane somewhere, usually twice a week, I'm completing my bachelor's degree. And then what I learned while there inspired me so much, and just, you know, I just loved what I was doing. And I sat in an open house for master's programs at the same school, Northeastern, and learned about health informatics and said, oh, wow, this is it. This is the thing. This is what I'm doing right now. This is what it was going to change the world. And so I did. I went for that program. By this time, and I know I'm fast forwarding quite a bit, but by this time I was on my fourth marriage and that was not going well. And I found myself derailed. But you know, what I learned was that, you know, again, going back to where we come from, many of us on active duty, you know, we're probably 1% of the population who serve. And especially those who served in high operational tempo environments, everything you do is, I call it kind of high octane. And it's in the preparation for the inevitability of war or some kind of combat or conflict. And you go from that, you know, and you know every day you're just kind of amped, even though recruiting, you know, it's high tempo. And then to go from that, to go to, you know, to now you're out. Now you're a civilian. And it's like going from 1,000 miles an hour, slamming the brakes and going to zero. And what do you do? What do you do with all that excess energy and all that excess drive? And now, because, you know, it feels like now you're moving in slow motion, even though it's a fast-paced environment for most, it's not for you. And I noticed my other brothers and sisters around me who also, you know, exited, you know, active duty. You know, they found it hard to transition. Even then, they can go into their dream jobs, but still, it's just something vastly different, you know, to prepare for. And while I acknowledge that Uncle Sam is great at, you know, providing all our needs while we're on active duty, we know when to eat, when to sleep, when to, you know, take our bio breaks, and, you know, we know when we're getting paid. You know, there's so many things we don't have to think about that now we suddenly find ourselves, you know, having to figure out. And the transition assistance program, TAP, or TAP for some branches, is just, it's not enough. And then so we find ourselves engaging, well, I'll speak for myself, but many of us have found ourselves engaging in risky behavior, you know, abusing, you know, alcohol and other substances. And, you know, just to kind of, recreate or replace that rush, you know, that we're used to having. And if we don't find balance, you know, it's not hard to succumb to it. And I've seen many of our brothers and sisters succumb to it just by not knowing how to adapt. So I guess I had the benefit, you may want to call it, I don't know, of having basically a lifetime of different types of adversities that, you know, I haven't really had the time or the luxury of slowing down to really consider them. And I think I feel kind of blessed for that, because I just had to keep going. But there's also a lot to be said for having that time and space to be able to slow down long enough to consider where you're at, so you don't consider, you know, you don't continue the same behaviors and patterns, and they're able to move forward in a, in a, in a productive way. So I left that job, left that marriage, and found myself lost for a while. But there's something in all of us, particularly those of us who serve, that, you know, we're prepared for things that most people, in my humble opinion, in society are not prepared for. And, you know, for example, you know, a 40-hour course that would, you know, most people would experience maybe in a 3-month period. We have 1 week, we have 5 days, you know, to pump and dump. So we're conditioned. We're conditioned to go, you know, several days without sleep to make the mission happen. And without using substances, you know, using pure adrenaline and caffeine, no shortage of coffee being poured. But my background before the Navy, my time in the Navy, and all the experiences and learning leadership from some very solid leaders who just really helped shape me into the human that I am today. Of course, my formal education, my experience and my, you know, my employment history following the Navy had all ultimately led me to where I am. And I was introduced by a mutual friend to my current, you know, dear friend and business partner, and from and my predecessor, from whom I just bought the company that I now own. It's just, if one of those components from my past had been missing, even the divorces and the other things that, you know, if one of those components were missing, I can't say that I'd be where I am right now. You know, so I learned that embracing my experiences, no matter how painful, looking at them, embracing them, and taking the experiences and, you know, looking for the lessons in each one of them, it's really, you know, it's worth doing. It can be painful. It can be tough. It can be hard. It's hard to look at yourself and, you know, and see, you know, it really can be to take that hard, deep, close look at yourself and see, you know, why you're making the decisions that you're making, why you find yourself in familiar patterns, which I often have. Risk-taking behavior, you know, choices and partners. I think a number of us, if not all of us, have experienced some of these challenges. But I do think that, you know, finding someone you can connect with is either on the same path you're on or where you're headed, or they're already there. I think that's helpful. I can't speak for every VA, but I understand, but the VA healthcare system that I use, especially being able to know, having the healthcare background that I have and knowing how to advocate for myself, has proven very beneficial to me. I still utilize all the services that are available to me, including and especially the mental health part of it, because I think that's critical. I know that for a long time there's been quite a stigma on that, particularly within our services. I think we're getting better with that. I'd like to think that we are. But I see it as an investment in myself to take care of myself. We have physical health. Of course, we're going to have mental health. And I think they're all, you know, everything has to be paid, you know, given its due attention. So like I said, you know, I was placed in a position where this past December I was able to buy the company that I'm working for. That I've been working for since 2016, largely, you know, mostly on, some off. There have been some challenges. And I find that my personal, mental, and physical health is even more critical because now I'm responsible for other people. Just, you know, so for the same reasons I did things on the major choices I made while on active duty, it was all about the mission and those to whom I'm responsible, and those for whom I'm responsible, they're worth me taking care of myself, better care of myself. And as, you know, as we pause to remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice on this Memorial Day weekend, I find myself grateful because on many occasions I could have been the one not coming home. I'm glad that I'm here. And now that I realize, you know, and now that I am, I have to use it. I have to pay homage to it. And I have to give it its due respect. I've got to live every day as if it were my last. I don't know what moment is going to be my last. But I think it just shows, humbly, I think it shows respect and honors those who did not make it home to do the best we can, not just for ourselves. Of course, we have to take care of ourselves before we can take care of anyone else. But we have to be prepared to care for others as well, particularly our brothers and sisters who are lost and have not found their way home. Even though they're on American soil, many of them still have not found their way home. And those are the people I think about, you know, particularly on this weekend. It's hard to think, to speak about it and think about it without getting at least a little bit emotional. Because, you know, I think many of us have those in our memories, those we held dear, those who we remember, you know, that aren't with us today. You know, so for them, I think I owe it to them every day to do the absolute best I can, not just for myself, but for everybody I come in contact with. And to just, you know, with each human soul I encounter, to just, my intention is to leave them